I cannot think of a better time than to have David Icke on the program to talk about what is happening to this planet. He also has a new workout. It's called Phantom Self. We'll be right back with David Icke in a moment, live from the United Kingdom on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, David Icke, former journalist and network anchorman with the BBC. David is a full-time investigator now. Of course, he's been doing that for a number of years. He is looking behind who is really controlling the planet. He is on a never-ending quest for the truth and presents information in a way that a lot of people understand. David gives a life-changing exposure of both the illusion that we believe to be real and the way this illusion is generated. It's always a pleasure to have David Icke on the program. Hey, David, welcome back.
Hello, George. Long time no talk.
Yeah, it's good to talk with you. And how are things in the United Kingdom these days?
Yeah, well, interesting. We've got a referendum coming up of whether we stay in the European Union, and the fear and lies are of tidal wave proportions to try to keep us in, because that's all part of the global structure of centralization of control. The last thing they want is people coming out of the EU. They want more people going in. So, of course, Britain is involved in what's going on in the Middle East and Syria, which is, again, all part of this plan I've been talking about for a very long time. In fact, 26 years coming up, I've been on this journey. And it was very, very lonely place to be all those years ago, because very few people wanted to know about anything that was outside the box. Now, for me, having experienced that, it's almost like dreamland, because so many more people, not least by the sheer scale and nature of world events, are beginning to look at the world in a very different way and start to ask, what is the world? What have I believed all these years, all my life? What is the truth? And I've done over the last 26 years is not just focus on world events and how they're coordinated and to what end, but ultimately the force that's behind them. And that really does cook the noodle of many people, because compared with the world that we are asked to believe is real, when you get deep, deep, deep in the rabbit hole to what that force is, then it is mind-blowing. But whoever said that the truth was not going to be mind-blowing when all we've had all our lives is lies and misinformation?
It is the best time to get you on the program, David, to talk about these kinds of issues. What do you think, and what are they saying in Britain about our presidential campaign so far?
Well, you know, from my point of view, you know, they wanted Hillary Clinton all along. But, you know, people who look at the presidential campaign, they see, you know, people, individuals who are trying to win, trying to overcome their rivals. But the main players, not least Hillary Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama, they are actually just the part of the iceberg that you see in the public arena. Actually, behind them are these networks, in the end, a global network, that are manipulating events and putting people representing the interests and the agenda of that network into public office. And of course, what we call democracy is merely the scam to give the people the impression that they're having an effect on their country, their world, by voting for this person or that person. When actually we have a government in Britain currently, which has virtually total power at that governmental level anyway, and they were voted into office by 37% of the vote. So this idea that democracy is an interchangeable word with freedom is one of the great illusions. I mean, you know, if you look at the United States, George, I've been hearing since I was a kid that anyone can become president of the United States. Well, But you look around the last few years, and yes, that's true. Anyone can become president of the United States, so long, most of the time, their name is either Bush or Clinton. if you look back to the Reagan administration, it was called Reagan-Bush, Father Bush. Actually, it was Bush-Reagan. Because the real power in that administration over two terms was Father George Bush, who was absolutely an agent and accessory of this network. And then we went from Bush-Reagan to Bush himself, who had one term. Then we went to two terms of Clinton. And somebody's calling me, honestly.
Okay.
Two terms of Clinton. And then... we moved into two terms of Bush and then into Obama. And so we have a situation where since, 1980, you had Bush-Clinton, Clinton-Bush. And when you do the research, and this goes way back to my earlier books, like And the Truth Shall Set You Free in the mid-90s, and many American researchers have produced the same material in relation to this, you find that the Bush family and the Clinton family are extremely close and are connected to the same network. And, you know, this is a structure which operates worldwide, but the United States example is perfect to describe it in very simple terms. In the time of the Bush administration...
And David, 20 out of 28 years of presidents has been Bush-Clinton. 20 out of 28 years.
Well, when you consider, George, that America has more than 300 million people, that absolutely blows out of the water that anyone can become president of the United States. Not even anyone with lots of money can necessarily become president unless the network wants them in power. When the network controls the corporations that own the media, the very few, about five or something now in the United States, and therefore controls the flow of information and what is reported and what's not reported, of course you can. Put your candidate, the one you want, in the best possible light, and the one you don't want in the worst possible light, and manipulate perception. Because my book before the new one, Phantom Self, was called The Perception Deception, and that's what we're looking at. The whole deal is a perception deception, because from perception comes behavior. From perception comes what you will accept, what you won't accept, what you will support, what you won't support. And thus, the whole global conspiracy is actually a conspiracy to download a perception of reality to the public. And in the area we're talking about, George, it's the perception that your vote matters, that your vote can make a difference. When, as I was saying, this structure in the United States is a wonderful way of explaining it simply. During the Boy George Bush era, we had a group of people around him, which were, you know, accepted in the mainstream media even, which were called the neocons.
Right.
The neoconservatives. And these were the people who came to power with him. Either in government, like people like Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz, or in the background, in back from the camera situations and positions. And when a Democratic candidate is in power, they have around them a group of people which I call the Democons, which are, again, the people that really control the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the key. If you go back one step or one step deeper in the rabbit hole, the Democons and the neocons answer to the same master. And at that point, it doesn't matter who's in power, nominally called a Democrat or a Republican, that master is always in power. And this is why you could not have had, George, a more blatantly claimed difference between Barack Obama and Boy George Bush.
Right.
Look at the Obama campaign, his first campaign. Change, change, change. Everything was change. I'm different. Change, change, change. And all this has been since is a continuation of the same agenda going in the same direction. I can talk about this in detail and show that.
We really got no change at all.
No, we didn't, because the idea is that at the election, you are selling the idea that you have a choice. So although Obama represents the same network that Boy George Bush represented, obviously they don't want people to know that. So they have this farce, this charade, where they claim to be different. And now they're pushing this thing with Hillary Clinton. Oh, yeah, vote for Hillary, the first woman president. Well, having the first woman president would be great, I think, but not one who is absolutely welded, hook, line, and everything else
right.
to this network, which controlled her husband, which controlled Boy George Bush, Father George Bush, Reagan, on and on and on.
Well, let me ask you, David, is Donald Trump part of that? I don't think he is, and that could be a big problem.
Well, it may be. We've got to see how it plays out. You know, I think it's always ill-advisable to make judgments of each step until you've seen where it's going. So to judge where that's coming from, I wouldn't want to do that until we get
there.
Well, till we get through the nomination process, until we see the way it's going. Because if you start to judge every step, you don't see the journey. And I think I'm holding my fire on that. What I would say is this, that you don't become a multi-billionaire if the system's against you. You don't become a multi-billionaire if you're fighting the system. If you look at the financial networks that are an expression, too, of the political networks, if you go deep enough in the rabbit hole, if they didn't want Donald Trump to be a billionaire, he wouldn't be a billionaire, because the banking system is completely controlled by these people, the financial system is controlled by these people, the corporations are controlled by these people, and therefore I think, you know, when someone's saying that they are an outsider challenging the system, I think we want to see a bit more evidence than we've seen so far. That's why I say, let's see how it runs.
Okay, we will. And it's, of course, we're going to know a lot on Tuesday. We have the big Super Tuesday primaries for both parties. So we will see. Now, you call your new work Phantom Self. Tell me what that means.
Well, you know, to uncover, George, what's happening and what has happened and what is planned to happen, you can't just research one subject. You can't just research 9/11 or world events or the banking scam. You have to research across a vast, vast number of subjects, which on the face of it don't connect, but in truth, fundamentally connect. I mean, I'm coming to speak in America in all-day events later this year in September in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco.
Oh, beautiful. And if I'm in L.A. when you're here, we've got to get together.
Absolutely, that would be great. And I talk from, with breaks, by mind, from 10 o'clock in the morning, and I finish at 10 o'clock at night with about 2,000 illustrations and images and stuff. And the reason I do that is not because I've got verbal diarrhea, but because I connect such a vast number of apparently unconnected subjects. Everything from world events and what's happening in the Middle East and the world in general, through to the nature of reality itself. And if we don't understand the nature of reality itself, we can't understand what's going on in the world. All these things absolutely fundamentally connect. And like I said earlier, George, that the whole thing is actually a perception deception. So we have something that I call the program. And I expose this in detail in Phantom Self, and I will in the talks too. And the program starts the moment you leave the womb, because the first people you meet are your parents who've been through the same program I'm about to describe, which ends up with Vance himself. This is where I'm leading. And so what happens in your formative years is your parents are passing on their beliefs and their perceptions of the world
right.
to you from a very early age.
And they form you.
Yes, not out of malevolence, most of the time, vast majority of the time, not out of malevolence at all, but because the parents have been persuaded that what they've been told to believe about everything is true, so they're doing the right thing by passing it on to their children.
That's right.
Nowadays, and it's getting smaller and smaller, squeezing this time, nowadays, so quickly after you leave the womb, you're now sitting at a desk as a child with an authority figure in front of you who's telling you what's right, what's wrong, what's possible, what's impossible, what to believe, what not to believe, when you have to be there, when you can leave, when you can eat, when you can go to the toilet, ask for permission. And so you've only just come into this world, George, and suddenly the state, or the system as I call it, is downloading its program. It's telling you that truth comes from authority, that you have to obey authority, you don't have to question authority, or you're a naughty boy or girl, and all this stuff. And then you go through the what we call the education system. And as you're going through it, you are downloading all the time the system state's version of everything, of economics, of environment, of politics, of everything, of the reality. And this goes on, and then you go to another level of education they call higher education, to college and university. And nowadays, at that point, you start paying for your own programming by getting into enormous amounts of debt, which means the state, which controls the debt, and the banking system, which controls the debt, is now dictating your life, because you've got to pay it back at some point. And so you go through to the end of this this whole process we laughingly, bravely call education, at which point you have downloaded, this is not always the case, but most of the time, the vast majority of the time is the case, you have now downloaded the system's version of everything in relation to your perceptions. What happens next? You go off into your profession. You become a politician, mm-hmm. or a lawyer, or a scientist,
or whatever,
or a journalist, right? And you take with you that base programming, that base perception programming. And so when these people that then run the system in all these areas I've just described, they are now cross-referencing and confirming each other in terms of their belief in reality. So when a journalist wants to talk about health, he won't go to an alternative healer that's challenging the programming of his life or her life. He'll go to a doctor. When they want to talk about the nature of reality, they'll go to a scientist. They won't go to a researcher that spent 26 years researching it, and so on. And so by the time you've reached this point, the vast majority of people are what I call phantom self. The phantom self is your self-identity with your name, your life story, your race, your religion, your family history, etc.
Stay there, David. We're going to take this break. We'll come right back and pick it up with David Icke with his latest work, Phantom Cell. His website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Do take a look at his events in case you're going to be around where he is. And our special guest tonight, David Icke, will take calls with David next hour here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with David Icke. His latest work is called Phantom Self, and we've been getting into that. And so, David, you're basically saying that by the time an infant is born and grows up a little bit, they're already mind-controlled, aren't they?
Yeah, they're perception-controlled. They're perception-downloaded. And what I was saying, you know, before the break about Phantom Self, that it's your sense of self-identity with your name, your family history, your race, your religion, your political persuasion, your income bracket, and all these things. It's also self-identity with the perception of reality that you have and the perception of the world that you have. And what that does is it basically focuses attention through the five senses. Basically, the phantom self is not the real self. It's what the real self is experiencing. And this is the confusion that the system wants us to have. The real self is simple awareness, the state of being aware. It doesn't have a body. It doesn't have a form. It is a state of awareness, and it is an expression, a point of attention within infinite awareness. And this is where this whole concept of we are one comes from. When this awareness is experiencing a reality, in fact, this reality is just a tiny, tiny, ridiculously tiny range of frequencies called visible light. I mean, it's so small, it's laughable. Terms of what we can perceive and decode into a visual reality. And the idea of the conspiracy is to hold the population in that level of awareness, the five-sense awareness. It doesn't want you expanding your state of awareness into the greater self, which will then start to see the world very, very differently. There'll be many people listening to this program who will completely understand what I'm saying because they've been through a process of what people call awakening. It's like awakening from the program, as it is. And suddenly, what they couldn't see before is perfectly obvious. But that's because they're now looking at this world from another point of perception. It's like when you are caught in the headlights of the five-sense program, you are in this world and you are of it. And thus you are trying to make sense of a madhouse within the madhouse. And people do. This is why in this world, madness, insanity in the way it works, is called normal. It's because the madhouse, to the madhouse, normal is madness. But when you then expand your awareness and you are not just symbolically, but in terms of frequency, in terms of perception, you're also looking into this world from beyond the program, then you are in this world, but you're not completely of it. And the ironic thing, because, you know, this world is a complete inversion. Look anywhere in this world and you'll see an inversion. There's a great quote from a guy called Michael Elner, who said, just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, and the major media destroy information, and religions destroy spirituality. And what we're looking at in the concept that I've just described is another massive inversion, and it's this. When you are in the program, what I call the madhouse, madness is normal. But when you are perceiving it from another point of reality and you see it's madness and you express yourself and your view, the program and that attached to the program sees you as mad. You know, if you were born in a crazy situation, a situation of madness, and all you've known all your life is that madness, that madness is your normal. Someone comes in from outside and says, hey, hold on a second, this is madness. People say, you're mad. What do you mean? This is not madness. It's normal. And this is what perception deceptions and perception downloads do. They persuade people that crazy is normal. So we have a world where people, a world of plenty, where people die of hunger. We have countries bombed from the sky, justified by protecting civilians from violence. It's all mad. We have a pharmaceutical industry that is one of the world's biggest killers of people. One of the biggest causes of death is the treatment in its multiple forms. The whole world is crazy. And what happens, and people will identify with this, when you start to awaken, what happens? Your family say, I'm very worried about Bill or Ethel. I think they're going very strange. Mm-hmm. No, they're going sane. That's what's happening. And people listening to this program night after night, you don't listen to Coast to you, that's bloody mad, it's weird. In fact, what they're doing is awakening and acknowledging that what the program has told them is reality is not the only option in terms of perceptions of reality.
How many people are awakening, David, worldwide? Is this happening worldwide?
Well, yes, it is. I mean, worldwide wake-up call, worldwide wake-up tour, a very good title in the circumstances, is going to America, it's going all across Europe, it's going all across Australia. And you know, I mean, you know, I'm going to speak in Romania. And the number of people that have got tickets to go to that event, and it's not until kind of November, is astonishing in a short time that they've been available. It is global for this reason. The program is global, and the program is basically a frequency range. Because what I'm saying in Phantom Self, and I've been saying for a long time before, is that this universe is actually a simulation. It's a quantum computer. A quantum computer stores its information in the fabric of its reality, in the particle energetic substance of the reality. And people now, at the cutting edge of this, and even in mainstream universities and projects, are starting to build and develop quantum computers that do exactly the same. So this reality, I described it as like a cosmic internet. But one of the great things now, George, which the shamans of the past didn't have, is the fact that technology that is now being introduced and people are using is actually mirroring the very reality that we're experiencing. So you have the analogies and you have the examples to use to make clear what you're saying. I'm sitting here now, and if my house had Wi-Fi, I would not be able to see it. If computers didn't exist to decode that Wi-Fi,
decode it,
into,
sure.
Worldwide reality called the internet, the World Wide Web, and I said, "Hey, there's a whole global reality in the atmosphere all around you." People are saying, "You're mad! I can't see it." But we accept today that Wi-Fi is there in the unseen, and you take a computer and it decodes that information onto the screen that we call the internet. Well, what I've been saying for a long, long time is that the body is a biological computer that's actually doing the same. I nearly fell off my chair the other day. I was reading an article involving a mainstream scientist, and he came out and said the body's like a biological computer. I nearly fell off my chair. But this is where we're going now. Even the cutting edge of mainstream science is now beginning to ask these questions. There are projects at, like, the University of Bonn in Germany and others around the world where they're actually studying the possibility, and they conclude some of them probability, that we do actually live in the equivalent of a computer simulation. Now, we are interacting with that simulation just as we're interacting with the internet. We take information from the internet, but we also post information on the internet. And so with our thoughts, with our perceptions, we are interacting, posting and taking information from this quantum computer universe. Now, this is the point. The bigger frequency range that you are operating on in terms of your awareness, your consciousness, the more of that reality you are able to decode and therefore perceive. The more you squeeze the frequency band on which people are operating, the more you squeeze the amount of information they can access from that interactive cosmic internet. Thus, the conspiracy, which in the end is run from the deep, deep shadows by people that know how this works, but want to keep it from us. That's why most of mainstream science just is so far off the pace. It's a joke. The reason the whole conspiracy is founded on keeping people in what I call phantom self, five sense self, is because that dramatically limits the information they can access and thus integrate in their perceptions of reality. And what the awakening is that program breaking down as greater areas of our awareness starts to get involved in the perception process. As it does so, the frequency range that we are interacting with gets wider and wider. The information that we get gets much more expanded, and suddenly you're seeing the world in a completely different way. And that's what the awakening actually is. It's awakening to true self from phantom self.
Can this awakening backfire on us, David? Can we get too technologically advanced that artificial intelligence, for example, takes over?
This is a very, very important point. I have a chapter in Phantom Self, which I call Transphantomism. It is, in my opinion, the most important chapter I've ever written, and I've written a few. The awakening and the technological expansion are not the same thing. In fact, they are the opposite of the same thing. This is a really very, very important area you've introduced here, George. The reason I call that chapter Transphantomism is that transhumanism is the next stage to lock down people in a disconnected from true self state, even beyond the programming of what I call phantom self. The idea is to get technology inside the biological computer, the body brain, and through that technology, connect five sense perception, not to infinite self, but to the cloud. You look at major spokesman for Frankenstein, like this Google executive, Ray Kurzweil. And he is openly talking about the fact that humans will have hybrid cloud-powered brains by 2030.
That's unbelievable. It's true. I believe it.
Yeah, here's a quote that should chill people who have any awareness of what's going on.
They're going to download memory one day, David, and then clone your body so we'll have a fresh David Icke or George Norrie with our memories in those bodies. We may last forever.
Well, I see where you're coming from, but I think the word "our" is not quite the one, because although that's what they're saying, because it won't be our thinking, it will be
theirs,
the cloud thinking. Yeah. This is the quote from Kurzweil: "Our thinking will be a hybrid of biological and non-biological thinking, both of which are expressions of computers, by the way. Humans will be able to extend their limitations." No, they won't. They'll be even more limited, and quote, "think in the cloud." We're going to put gateways to the cloud in our brains. We're going to gradually merge and enhance ourselves. In my view, that's the nature of being human. We transcend our limitations. This is all inverted nonsense he's talking to sell Frankenstein. He says, as the technology becomes vastly superior to what we are, then the small proportion that is still human gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it is utterly negligible. And what they're doing is assimilating us into a technological sub-reality to completely disconnect humanity from infinite self. So the only perceptions we have are those we download from the cloud that have been put there by this force in the shadows. And, you know, you will remember the Borg in Star Trek.
Yep.
Well, for those who don't, the Borg were a collection of species that have been turned into what were called cybernetic organisms, functioning as drones of a hive mind. They called it the collective or the hive. The Borg, they used a process called assimilation to force other species into the collective by injection of microscopic machines called nanoprobes. What is happening is that these nanoprobes are now in existence, and they're called things like smart dust. And again, Kurzweil is talking about these nanobots being everywhere and being infused into everything, including humans, to basically take the whole of this reality over. And what's happening is this nanotechnology, which is increasingly everywhere, I absolutely would say it's in chemtrails, which is where I suggest Morgellons disease comes from, with these fibers and
yeah, you may be right there.
Silicon. Yep. Yeah. And so this assimilation is happening, and we're being assimilated into this technological sub-reality. Another quote from Kurzweil. Nanobots will infuse all matter around us with information. Rocks, trees, everything will become these intelligent creatures. And here's a quote from promotion material for Smart Dust. And if anyone talks about and thinks about Big Brother, how about some of this? Smart Dust is the ultimate surveillance. This is me saying this before I get to the quote.
Yeah.
It says Smart Dust is infusing all matter, can recognize an individual anywhere they are, to the extent that their computer can be automatically turned on when they walk through the door of work, and the elevator can automatically open at the right floor. This is from promotion material for Smart Dust and the Smart Dust world. I mean, you don't need, you know, the microchips and all that stuff that been talked about when you can be infused with this Smart Dust. And people are breathing it in now, because this is what's going on. And, you know, the reason I'm going on this open-ended, and it is open-ended, worldwide wake-up tour through 2016 and 2017 and for as long as it lasts, is because, you know, I've been saying for a long time, 2016, 2017, 2018 are absolutely crucial years for humanity to awaken to what's really going on around it, so we can do something about
this. Smart Dust could be our undoing, David.
Well, it's meant to be. This Smart Dust is and these so-called nanobots, as they call them, which are basically like mini computers that can replicate. This is why, you know, Morgellons disease, people suffering from that are getting this stuff coming out of them, like these fibers, and it's replicating. So much in the Matrix movies has turned out to be
right on.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, who were humans controlled by in the Matrix movies? Machines.
That's right. David, stay with us. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. We'll talk more about your latest work, Phantom Self. And, of course, this is the hour where we'll take your phone calls, too, on Coast to Coast AM.